Good evening. Well, y'all made it back. That's good. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, we're just going to look at a part of one verse here to start and see if we can, see if the Lord will get involved in this and truly encourage all of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Tonight, just for a little bit, I want to talk about neglecting so great salvation. So let's pray and see if we can get the Lord involved here. Father, I just, once again, I'm honored to stand in Brother Welder's pulpit. I pray, Lord, you know I've prayed and I've searched the scriptures and I've tried to see what I truly believe you want preached. I know that you helped me today in putting this together. I know that you encouraged me through it, and I pray that tonight that that somehow you can use me to encourage everyone to not neglect so great salvation and whatever that may mean. I pray that you'll take whatever fits and put it in the exact place, and when we leave here tonight, we'll be glad that we heard from you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Neglect. Sometimes, do any of y'all ever neglect anything? Yeah. That's probably a hobby of mine in some things. We neglect things, number one, because of ignorance sometimes. We just don't know better. We don't know better. Have you ever, a young child, I believe, last time I looked, you got to teach them certain things or they won't know any better. Something as simple as they ought to brush their teeth. Okay, it's pretty basic, but you ought to teach. Normally I have Kelly here to applaud these teeth things. And I put this in there just for her. But you've got to teach a child to brush his teeth. And not neglect that, because if he plans on using those teeth the rest of his life, you ought to take care of them, right? And so it's simple as that, that sometimes we neglect things because we really don't know any better, and a child doesn't know any better. Sometimes we neglect things intentionally, especially if it's something we don't want to do. I actually know people that will neglect ironing clothes because they hate to do it. I know people that will neglect exercise. Yeah. There's a few heads shaking. It's easy. Yeah, give me an. I'm going to be asking for some amens through this thing. Now. It's easy to neglect things that we don't like. Intentionally, because we don't care about those things, we'll neglect them. Another reason we neglect things is because we're inattentive. See, I had to get three I's. And inattentive is the next one. It means we neglect things because we get distracted or we're careless. Men, how many times have you forgotten a birthday or an anniversary? Nobody, amen. That's amazing. I know you've neglected that because you had other things on your mind. You get distracted or you get careless, so you neglect things. So what we want to look at just for a little while tonight is some reasons why we would neglect our salvation. And you think, well, that sounds strange, but wait till we get there. And I want you to remind you one thing. No matter what the reason is that you neglect something, it still is neglected. Okay, so keep that in mind. The first reason that I mentioned there that we neglect our salvation would be, I call an ignorant neglect, We neglect it because, well, let's say you're a baby Christian. And many times, I know in my case, I got saved when I was 10 or 11 years old. And I know that I answered a altar call at a church. I know I went to the front. I know I understood that I was a sinner. I know that I understood that sinners go to hell. And I understood that Jesus Christ had paid my debt so that I could go to heaven when I die. And so I went up and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I mean, that's your baseline salvation. And I got saved. But then I never went, hardly ever went to church again. My family was out of church. We were in the, and that was something that got done. And it was done. And I lived probably the next 35, 40 years of my life knowing that I was saved plus nothing. I was a babe in Christ. I never had anything helped me grow. I didn't understand anything else about salvation than that. In fact, I just knew that I got saved, and I thought, well, Catholics have got their way of getting saved, and because nobody sat me down and explained that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. But I knew enough to get saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we have folks that maybe you're sitting here tonight. We have certainly have folks that get saved in this church, and they go to the Randy in the back. You know the guy, Randy in the back during the sermons? And they go to the Randy in the back, and he takes them back there, and they are convicted by the Spirit of God, and I let them do most of the talking. And at that point, all they know is probably what I just told you. They know that they're a sinner, and they know that sinners go to hell. They know they don't want to go to hell, and they're going to take Jesus Christ up on the promise that he made to them and what he'd done. It's simple. It's simple. And truly, salvation is that. We put a lot of other things on it, but that's what it is just believing in what Jesus Christ already done. But if you do like me, then the next 35 or 40 years you live your life and you haven't grown. You know what I did for 35 or 40 years? I neglected so great salvation. Because after that 40 years, you know my testimony, a lady gave me a daily bread devotional. And I looked in there and there was some scripture. And so then I went and found my old Bible. And I had I don't know if any of y'all old enough, but they used to make Bibles. I had a little white one with it zipped up itself. It wasn't in a cover. And I had one. So I went and got it. I was too old. I needed bigger print. But I started reading that Bible, and I was that 1 Peter 2:2. I was that babe that desired the sincere milk of the Word that I could grow thereby. I was about a 35, 40-year-old Christian baby that needed to be fed. And boy, the first time I got fed, I couldn't get enough. And to this day, my children think I was crazy because I read that Bible morning, noon, and night. And I sat there, and I got more out of it if I read it aloud. And so they really thought I was goofy. And I may be. But I had neglected so great salvation because I knew nothing else. And when I started reading that Bible, all of a sudden I wasn't ignorant anymore. I started learning about all the things that Jesus Christ had done for me besides just save my soul. And I started seeing the promises in that Bible. You can shake your head too because you got the same promises. You've got the same salvation that I have. And we neglect it when we stay at one level and we refuse to grow or we don't get to grow. And so it's so important, church, when we see people come to the Lord that we need to disciple them. We need to get them into that Bible. We need to get them food. I can just imagine if y'all would have had Emma and then you just kind of left her somewhere. Talk about neglecting so great an Emma. Okay? But you've went out of your way to make sure she's getting food and she's growing. And that's what we need to do as a church, or we're neglecting so great salvation. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's talking to a real carnal church. He tells them, you're so carnal, I've had to feed you with milk because you're not able to eat meat. You know the passage. And you know the comparison here. Milk is just the basic things in that Bible that you need to know. The meat is just deeper things and the mysteries and the things that Paul knew. And he was saying, I can't even feed you that because all you can take is milk at this point. Well, if we want to not neglect our salvation, then we need to, we truly just need to eat what is appropriate for us. I know people, I've been coming to this church for a while. And because we have a pastor that is just really, really gifted at teaching the Bible. it draws people in here because they want to learn some more Bible and deeper Bible, and they want to go to Revelation, and they want to learn the meat. When truly a bunch of them really need to start out learning the milk. Starting with the milk, because I'm telling you, Proverbs says, feed me, Proverbs 38, feed me with food convenient for me. Feed me food convenient for me. Job said, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food. What you need to do, if you don't want to neglect your salvation, what you need to do is you need to get on a diet of God's words that you're able to stand. If you start trying to understand the deeper things, when I'm going to tell you, your basic salvation is the foundation of your Christianity. And if you don't understand all the things, and there's many, many things, and we're going to go over some of them. There's many, many things that happen to you the moment that you believe in what Jesus Christ did for you. Many, many things. And if you don't totally understand those things and grab onto those things, and most of all, rejoice in what God has done for you, then you're neglecting so great salvation. Another reason under this ignorant neglect is we will neglect things due to ignorance when we don't have any idea of the value or the importance of something. Okay? Now, I have had two girls that I've raised, and I've made mistakes along the way. And I know one mistake is you don't give a young lady a brand new car. Okay? Because I can assure you, she doesn't understand the value or the importance of that car. Okay? I had better responses when I gave a young lady a used, beat-up car. Because at that point, she needed to try to understand the value and the importance of the maintenance on it and the things, so that she would try not to neglect the things. You understand about the car illustration. And now I know I've offended some people that gave their daughter a brand new car. It wasn't meant that way. If my daughters are listening to tape, they'll think it went to them. This importance on neglecting things when we don't know the value or the importance of them. I'm going to use Lizzie and Ori again because they're on the front row and they're easy. They've got this beautiful baby. But they understand the value and the importance to that baby is to you. And so you're not about to just let anybody take care of that baby. Because you've got in your mind the way that you want her to be treated and taken care of. And so you put a value and an importance on this thing so it doesn't get neglected. You know, our salvation, I'm telling you, it can be due to ignorance, because if you've never been fed along the way, and I did the same thing. I lived most of my life, and I didn't have a value or importance on my salvation. I didn't understand how valuable it was, but it's pretty valuable. You know, God gave and sacrificed His own Son, not for my righteousness, but for my filth. Do you understand? Can you grab that concept? I know every one of y'all know this. And I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight for a reason. I want you to remember how it felt when you first got saved. I see people get saved in my office. I see people get saved on these ships. And I see them in tears of joy because they got saved. They understand what God has just done for them. But we sit here, and it's certainly a neglect, when we don't rejoice in that. That is the most important thing that has ever happened to you or ever will happen to you in your life, is your salvation. And once we got that, it's kind of like, okay, I got that, and we check it off, and now, okay, Lord, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't my kids behaving? What about this new job? How am I going to go to school? That's where we go, and we forget or we neglect the basic salvation that God has given us. And we do it through ignorance. We do it because we don't put a value on what it's worth and what it meant to the Lord to give it to us. Am I making sense here? Do y'all understand this? Okay, good. Because your salvation is the foundation of your faith. And unless we educate ourselves so that we won't be ignorant, then you're going to be neglecting so great salvation. So right now, I've been preaching. Now we're going to do a little bit. We're going to look at some scripture. And I know with this crowd, every one of you has seen every one of these scriptures before. There's nothing here that's profound. And this part I got right here, exhort and encourage, written right here in pencil. Okay? So y'all need to cooperate. Okay? We're going to look at some scriptures, and I need some amens. And I need you to wake up and be excited about your salvation. Turn to Titus 2:5. It ought to get plumb loud and crazy in here in a minute. Titus 2:5. Look what the Bible says about your salvation. We're not going to be ignorant. If one thing about this, when you leave here tonight, you're not going to be ignorant about your salvation. And so that's not going to be an excuse for you to neglect it. Titus 2:5 says, this is God's words, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I've read that scripture I don't know how many times. How many of y'all have read it more than 10 in your life? Huh? 3:5. Okay, well then you didn't read that one. I read that one. That's why you're not excited. Okay, I feel better. I feel better. Turn to 3:5 now and read the same thing I just did. I've read that scripture over and over and over. I've used that scripture to try to convince someone that's not saved to get saved. But I read that scripture as if it never did anything for me. You know that scripture is saying that you were saved not by your righteousness. You were saved because of His mercy. Can anybody give an amen about God's mercy? Come on, let's get excited here. You know what? It says there that you were regenerated. That means, like Tony preached this morning, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and God gave you life. He gave you life. You're born again. It says something about being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is, he says, abundantly through Jesus Christ. It says you were justified, being justified by His grace. Justified means that you got pulled into Judge Judy's office. Okay? And Judge Judy is sitting there, and Judge Judy knows that you're guilty. She knows every stinking dirty thing that you've ever done. She knows you're guilty, and you know what? She looks right at you in the eye, and she says, not guilty. Now, y'all can't believe Judge Judy would do that. Jesus Christ did that for you. He did it for me. You have been justified. You have been to court and declared not guilty. And every one of you know you are. Amen. Amen. That verse, and the verse it goes on to say that we're made heirs. You've got an inheritance. You not only were a low down, dirty dog sinner. Amen. Amen. And God showed up and you believed what He did on the cross for you one day. And He decided to declare you not guilty and tell you what, son, come on, I got an inheritance in heaven for you. Amen. One more time. Amen. All right. Well, let's look at, if that's not good enough, let's look at something else here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You've seen these verses. I think that, yeah, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll have the right one this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. For he, that's God, made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that's you, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. When God looks, I can't believe it when he looks at me, that he sees his own righteousness. I surely can't believe it when he looks at you. Okay? A bigger amen, okay? But he does. And I don't know how many times we've taken a Bible on those ships and showed them and said, I tell you what, Mr. Seafarer, you see that page there and all the black that's on that page? That's your sin. And all the white on that page, that's your righteousness. So Billy Bob, you think you agree to that? And they go, yeah. I said, okay, this is the book of Billy Bob, and there's your sin, and that's the way God sees it. And then I turn to the back and I go, here's the book of Jesus Christ. And they look at that and they go, wow. I said, yeah. And you know what he did according to 1 Corinthians 5:21? He became Billy Bob. And when Billy Bob accepts that, Billy Bob becomes him. That's you. That's the way God sees you right now in heaven. Every one of you. If you can't get excited and not neglect that, you need to do something about it. Amen. Amen? I mean, I'm getting excited because you look like that. Okay? Let's look at another verse. You're right there in 2 Corinthians. Let's pull up to 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know what? You get born again. And you don't just, you know, your spirit revives. And now that you're able to do. When you get born again, I did a discipleship lesson this week with a man, and I explained to him that when he got born again, what happened according to Colossians 2:11 is that the Spirit of God came in there and he got spiritually circumcisioned, a circumcision made without hands, and that the Spirit of God filled that in by the operation of God. Isn't the King James Bible good? The operation of God. And so now your soul is separated from your flesh, and the sin of your flesh does not affect your soul anymore. And so now you are actually, according to Ephesians, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Until when? The day of redemption, when you get this new body. And he was almost in tears. Nobody had ever told him that. You know, we walk around knowing that and having that happen, and in our soul and our spirit we're sealed by the, and yeah, so I was for lunch. We neglect so great salvation. God has done some wonderful things and continues to do wonderful things in our lives. And we just, it's just like, it. Well, you know, I need some extra money, Lord. I mean, we need to be getting excited about the things that God has done just in our salvation. Turn to Romans. It gets better. Romans chapter 5. We're just doing a little Bible study here, and hopefully when you'll read these verses that you can start rejoicing and quit neglecting your salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith to his what? Grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You could preach those two verses. Tony could preach those two verses for 3 weeks. He really could. And still not get all of the joy that we ought to have over what that means. Are you starting to get this a little bit? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look in verse, we'll start 14. This is about us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God, and if children, then what? Heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so we be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You are a son of a God, and you have got a rich daddy, and he's got a big inheritance for you. And turn to 1 Peter. I'll tell you where it is. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is your inheritance, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, where? Reserved in heaven for you. You have been promised by God, who cannot lie, that you believe in what he did for you. You get saved, you get born again, you get an inheritance, and he's got it reserved in heaven for you. That don't sound very exciting. I can't hear you. You ought to be excited about this. I'm telling you, you can't leave here tonight unless you haven't listened to a word I said. You cannot leave here tonight and qualify for ignorantly neglecting your salvation, because you have the scriptures in front of you. You've seen them. And so you can't be ignorant. So we got that one off the list. Let's look at the next one. The next reason that we may neglect our salvation is not being ignorant, but being intentionally neglecting it. You know, when I talked about maybe you do something because you didn't like to do it? I see this in two cases. Number one, intentionally neglecting the salvation of God is someone that's unsaved and doesn't want to hear it. And Milton and I see them on the ships. We hand them a Bible and they don't want it. They say, I don't want it. I don't need it. They just totally refuse it. Okay? What they're doing is they are rejecting the gospel. And you know, there is in the Bible, there's only two choices. You either receive the gospel or you reject the gospel. There's no like purgatory on gospels. Okay? You're either doing one or the other. And by the way, if you do nothing, you've rejected the gospel. Because in John chapter 3, it says that if you haven't received Jesus Christ, you're condemned already. Okay? It also says at the end of the chapter that the wrath of God abideth on him. That's present tense. So a lost person that intentionally neglects the salvation of God is in bad shape. Now, I feel like we don't have anybody in here like that. But truly, there ought to be, if you have got some excitement in your heart for what God has done for you, there ought to be some compassion for someone that's rejecting it. There ought to be some compassion in there. There may be a relative, there may be somewhere, and if you don't have it, ask God to give it to you. He will. There ought to be some compassion in there to go to somebody that's unsaved and try to give them the gospel. Try to give them a piece of it. Try to give them a good testimony. Try to pray for them. Try to do something so that they won't fall into this intentionally neglecting the gospel. Okay? The other reason that folks intentionally neglect so great salvation is folks that get mad at God. They get mad at God. Some of you were on here on Wednesday night when I gave the testimony of James, a seafarer. The other day, a couple weeks ago, Milton is talking to a young man. James comes in teary-eyed and says that he needs to talk to somebody. And I happen to be the guy with the cross on my hard hat and says chaplain. So here he came. And he came up to me and said, I need to talk. And so we sat down. And James, just a young man, I wouldn't even think he would be 30 years old. And he had just lost his year-and-a-half-old son. And he's Catholic, and he had lost his year-and-a-half-old son, and he's in tears. And I had to sit there and just let him talk a little bit so that he could start making sense. He was really, truly upset. And while he was talking, it was starting to become really clear that he was mad at God about it. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual at all, because you can't understand why God would take a year-and-a-half-old baby. And so he told me I quit praying to God. And he was mad at God. And at that point, he was intentionally neglecting salvation. He wasn't even saved, but he was neglecting an opportunity to do it, because why would I want to trust a God that killed my son? Great question. But I walked him through some of that, because I've been through some loss. I haven't lost a son, but I lost a wife. I understood how you can get upset with God over these things, but I truly tried to convince him that God's way is perfect. And God is right and good all the time. All the time. And I took him and took him and showed him that God was a God of comfort, and that was something that he needed. And I took him to a place where we finally got to a place where I could show him that if he ever wanted to see his son again, he needed to be saved. And God opened a door up right then, so that now he quit being mad at God. He wanted to see what God would do about getting him where he could see his son again. And it was like God just opened the door, laid all the cards out, and that young man went from tears of grief and mad at God to tears of joy and rejoicing in what God had just done for him. And it was all over about a 30-minute period. That man's life had changed. He was a new creature. And I'm telling you, it's things like that that lead me to these kind of sermons, because I see it. And when I see, you know, I can watch someone like that get saved and I'm as teary-eyed as he is. But I go home and I read this and I go, well, when was the last time I got that teary-eyed over what God done for me? You see what I'm trying to say here? We've got an obligation to reach some of these people that intentionally refuse or neglect the gospel. Because we, if anybody, know how good it is. We know what God has done for us. And so, you know, if you can do nothing at all but wake up once a day and start off the day thanking God for your salvation. I don't do that, but believe me, I'm going to listen to Randy's preaching. And I'm going to try to make an effort every day to acknowledge the one that saved me, that I appreciate the fact that he did it. Okay? And I'm going to not intentionally neglect so great salvation. Last one. We've got ignorantly neglecting. We've got intentionally neglecting, and the last one is inattentive neglecting. When you're inattentive. Inattentive. That means you're not paying attention. That means you may have forgot, or you're distracted. Has anybody in here ever put something on the stove and got a little inattentive? Okay? And all of a sudden, they go, I smell something burning. And then it all comes together and you run. Victor, has anybody ever done that and the fire department has had to show up? Yeah. We've not had the fire department show up, but we sure have had some ugly looking pots they got cooked down on. But that's inattentive. You started something, and it may have been your favorite recipe. It may have been something that's just wonderful, and you had all this expectation of this, and then you got distracted, and it burned up because of neglect. Inattentive. Nobody here has ever forgot to like change the oil or check the oil in their car, or any kind of maintenance on some kind of machinery. You know, because you get inattentive to that, you get in big trouble because you haven't maintained it, hadn't taken care of it. And so you can neglect something because you, see what I wrote here. Yeah. Those lights that come on the dash. Any of y'all ever have that? I've had to tell Maureen there's a difference between check engine and service engine. Okay? Because she'll just tell me that check engine light's been on. Well, it may be the service engine and it's just on because we're past the mileage on the oil change or something. But those lights, you need to pay attention to them. You can neglect those things by being inattentive and pay a big price for that. So reason that maybe most of us tonight should be listening to this is this reason. Most of us in here, you guys are Bible believers. You know about salvation. You know about what happens when you get saved. You ought to be excited about that. So it shouldn't be to ignorance. And I don't believe there's anybody in here that is intentionally neglecting the gospel. I really don't believe it. But inattentive, that could be it. You know, I don't know. There's one reason for an inattentive neglect of the gospel is that it's been so long ago. You forgot about it. And you guys that are a little gray and a little thin, you understand this long time ago and forgot about it. Because some of us, a long time ago was before lunch today. You know, Tony's talking about how fast life goes. He don't know nothing. Okay? I got socks that are older than Tony. Okay? I'm wearing them. No. But some of y'all got saved a long, long time ago. And the memory and the joy and the relief and the rejoicing that you had in you has long been forgotten. Because that's been many moons. Lots of water under the bridge since you've been saved. And we've got to be careful about that. Let me just show you something here. Turn to Psalm 118. Because we don't want to be inattentive because we've forgotten. Psalm 118, verse 24. The Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, if we could just take that thought and start out that way every day, rejoicing in the fact that God made this day and God gave me the opportunity to be in this day and God saved my soul when I didn't deserve it. He saved me through His mercy. And He allows me to take my last breath. I don't know why. But He did. And if we can get there, I believe God could do something with each one of us individually. And I think God could do more with us as a church. If we would get to a point where we're going to pay attention, not inattentive, but be attentive to our salvation. Another reason under forgetting is, sometimes we forget things because they happened so long ago, it's easy to forget. But a lot of things that get forgotten, the reason, you won't want to admit it, but the reason is truly is you're not very thankful. That's why you forget things. You're not really thankful. You know, I can tell you the best gift that you've ever got from some other person, you remember it because you're thankful for it. and you've gotten 400 other gifts that you can't even remember who gave them or why they gave them to you because you weren't thankful. But you've been given a gift by God that we ought to be thankful for, and we ought to thank God for. You're in Psalms. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. They're tied together there, salvation. We ought to not neglect our salvation because we've forgotten that it's God that daily loadeth us with benefits. Turn to Psalm 103. One more. Look in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and look, forget not all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. Boy, we don't need to be inattentive and neglect the salvation that God's given us because we're unthankful. The other reason we can be inattentive and forget the such great salvation is we get distracted. We get distracted, and that's a big one. I can tell you for a fact, you probably don't wake up first thing in the morning and thank God because he saved your soul, because you've got 50 other things that come to mind first. You've got this bill to pay. You've got to do that. The kid's got to be here. We get distracted with what the Bible calls the cares of this world. We get distracted with what the Bible calls the deceitfulness of riches. And then to make sure he throws on and lust of other things. So it covers it all. We are a people that the world is helping us be distracted from what is the most important thing in our life. It's our salvation. And I, you know, if you know, at this point, I really wanted y'all to be jumping up and running around in circles. I wanted Lou Ann Lennon to be throwing handbooks, hymn books. You know, I wanted Ori to be speaking in tongues. I really wanted some more smiling and amening and joy in the fact that God saved your dirty soul. He cleaned you up. He has set you in heaven in heavenly places. He has given you an inheritance. He takes care of everything in your life. He daily loadeth you with benefits. You need to get happy, folks. You need to get happy. I pray that you'll get happy. I really do. I knew from the beginning that to get Randy up here and to preach and encourage anybody would take a miracle. Because I'm not the guy that gets up and encourages. I'm the guy that gets up and tells you how sorry you are. And I use the Bible as my reference. So you can't argue. But truly, from the bottom of my heart, I want you to get excited because I'm excited right now about what God's done for me. And I know he's done the same for you. And I know he would love to see you get excited about it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you for talking to me. I know you talked to me through this sermon. I know you talked to me through the preparation. I know you talked through me through the delivery. And Father, I know that, Lord, I know me and I know what you've done for me. And I don't want to live another moment of my life neglecting what you've done for me. I pray, Father, you'll work in the hearts and minds of the folks here. I know that they love you. I know that they don't want to neglect you due to ignorance. These folks love your Bible, and they love the things that are in it and the promises that you've given them. I know there's not a one of them in here that wants to ever get mad at you and intentionally neglect their salvation. Father, but I know that we can get inattentive. and we can get forgetful, and we can get tired up with the cares of this world. But Father, I know one thing, and I know it for sure. You can go from neglecting your salvation to not neglecting it in the twinkling of an eye. All you got to do is say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I pray you help each one of us tonight find a way, find a place to get with you and get back with you about how wonderful and how great our salvation is. And Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.